Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
I'm Dori Shafrir.
And we're not experts.
But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Kate.
Hello, Dori.
I'm sitting across from you, a large bag of cough drops in between us.
Yep.
You have been sick for quite some time.
It's going on over a week.
Yeah.
I told you that my daughter gave me a bag of cough drops for Mother's Day this past year.
I do remember that.
Because that she thought that's what I really liked, which is true.
She's not wrong.
No, I love a bag of Halls. Halls, feel free to sponsor this podcast. I am sick. I have a cold.
I like Ricolas myself.
Oh, no, thank you.
Interesting. All right.
Do they actually stop your cough, or are you just like the flavor?
I think they help.
Okay.
Yeah, no, a little bit.
I find myself getting like addicted to the Halls. Mm. Like I just chomp on them all day long, like they're gum. So I'm in that phase of this cold right now. Mm. It's fine. I just have a cold, but it's still lingering. My youngest daughter has a cold, and then my oldest daughter had the legit flu.
Yeah.
Like the scary flu, 104.3 fever flu. Out of school for 5 days, flu.
She was so sick.
Yeah, it was really scary, actually, because we've never experienced that, where, you know, we get the flu vaccine, we get colds and norovirus and all that stuff, but we haven't really had a bout of the flu.
Mm-hmm.
And she was hallucinating at one point, which the doctor on call, who I then immediately called, was like, oh, that's just the flu, it's the fever. So that was a journey. I was up a lot for like 3 or 4 days at night with her, so it didn't help my cold. But you know what? I have just, as I mentioned last week, leaned into being sick.
Yes. So what does that look like?
Well, what it looked like was me going to my local like Rite Aid and Whole Foods and just buying a lot of things now and then just taking them all.
Okay.
Vitamin C, wellness drops. I've been hydrating a ton.
What about Umka?
You know what? The Umka let me down this time because the second I felt sick, I started pounding it. I always have some at my house, and it did not do anything to keep this cold away.
Oh dear.
But part of me was also thinking, you know, I don't do a lot to like care for my immune system. When I kind of posed the question to people, like, what do I do to help with my cold? So many people were like, I take elderberry, blah, 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 and I'm always taking vitamin C and echinacea and oregano oil. Like, it seems like some people have worked immune care into their daily practice of life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think about it until I'm sick.
Yeah. I mean, I also wonder, like, how much that stuff actually does anything.
Or is it all a placebo effect?
Yeah.
Who knows? I will say hydrating has been the most helpful thing.
Yes. Hydrating is so important.
And I just drink warm. And sleep. Hydrating and sleep. Truly, sleep is what makes me feel better.
Yeah.
And like a warm chicken broth.
Mm.
That's kind of also my other thing that I like. So I made a lot of bone broth. But yeah, you know, I've just been kind of trying to take care of myself, wiping down all the surfaces of my home. So the germs. My oldest daughter who had the flu then also threw up a couple times.
Mm.
So, you know, it's been a lot of just germs circulating.
Yeah.
And trying to avoid them and stay healthy while traveling and all that jazz. So don't get too close to me.
I mean, I've been at your house a bunch since the sickness started.
And you're doing okay.
And I'm doing okay. Knock on wood.
Knock on it.
I stayed at my sister's when we were at South by Southwest, and her daughter had the flu.
Oh, man. It's like you can't escape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's only 3, and she like never gets sick. And she was so sad. She's so sad and sick.
It doesn't feel good to be
no,
sick.
No, it doesn't. But I was like, wow, like if I was meant to get sick, I'm going to get sick.
There's probably trying to get
not a ton I can do. But so far, I'm okay. Which, you know, I did get the flu vaccine. Maybe that's helping. I do think it's interesting that like in both houses, only one person got sick.
Yeah, I know.
You know? So I like that makes me think the vaccine maybe does actually work.
I hope so.
And I mean, I believe in it. So yeah, but I haven't gotten a cold so far, which I'm hopeful.
That is impressive.
That doesn't happen.
I will keep covering my mouth. Although I apologize if I am coughing throughout this episode. I'm trying hard to keep it in. So
it's tough.
Tell me about spending time with your family. How was it?
In Austin?
Yeah.
Oh, it was great. I mean, it was sad that my niece was sick, mm-hmm. but she was like actually in pretty good spirits most of the time, other than being a little sad. And then my other niece, who's 8 months old, is just like such a great baby. She's like the baby of babies.
She is kind of like the baby to end all babies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you met her.
Oh, yeah, I did.
She's a great baby.
She's a great baby.
Yeah. So that was fun.
Love a good baby.
I love a good baby. Also, I was sitting with my 3-year-old niece at her art table and we were drawing and she drew and then she goes, V. And she'd drawn a letter V and then she drew another letter. She goes, W. And I thought, oh, I guess she knows her letters. Like, I guess she knows how to write letters. And then a couple of days later, I texted my sister. I was like, oh, you know, Maddie was like drawing letters when we were together. And she was like, oh, she's never done that before.
Oh.
And I was like, oh.
You got to witness cool. the first. Do you think it was your aunt influence?
Well, my sister has a theory that whenever I come visit them, they want to like show off for me. So they like reached some milestone that they hadn't reached before.
That's really sweet.
So, you know, maybe this time it was letters. So that was fun.
Look at you bringing out the brilliance.
Just, you know, that's what I'm here for.
That's true.
Yeah. And, you know, I was a little nervous about flying whilst pregnant.
And you are now grounded for the rest of your pregnancy.
I am grounded, yes. I mean, I'm not 30. Well, I guess if I had to take an emergency flight in the next 2 weeks, I could.
Okay.
Because you're not supposed to fly after 36 weeks. Although there's not like a reason it would be harmful. It's just you don't want to go into labor in the air. That's the real reason, which is legit. I have a friend who was due 3 weeks before me and she went into labor 2.5 weeks early. So I was like, oh yeah, that can happen mm-hmm. also.
Are you feeling a little bit like the end is nigh, like got to start packing? Are you going to pack a hospital bag?
Yeah. So I was actually discussing my hospital bag with my sister. I ordered some button-up pajamas, some like loose button-up pajamas.
That sounds cozy.
Yeah.
Some slippers.
Yeah. Going to get some slippers. I don't want to overpack. But I want to be comfortable. I'm going to bring my own pillow. I'm going to bring my own toilet paper.
Oh, now that is a smart thing I never thought to pack. But a softer toilet paper.
Yeah.
Bring some wipes.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that first poop after the baby's born is a journey. Mm. Yeah, that's an experience.
I mean, in my childbirth class, they described it as like basically giving birth to another child.
I think that's not far off.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, can't wait.
Yep. Exciting things to look forward to.
Yeah. So I need to pack my hospital bag. I mean, also, I feel like our listeners are so bored of this already, but like we continue to be prepping the house to get ready for the baby. We did make some progress. Matt made some progress while I was gone. He moved the couch and the digital piano out of my office.
Which, you know, if it was still in there, that baby's not going to know. The baby could live in an office.
There's literally nowhere to, like, there's Fair. No space.
Put it in a it's little.
The room is 7 feet wide. So
okay, you gotta get the piano. Okay.
Yeah, like there were, you know, we talked about this on Excellent Adventure a bunch, and we kept hearing from people that were like, you don't need to do anything to get ready for the baby. Like, he just needs a place to sleep and a place to be changed. And I was like,
right. And you don't have that.
Like, literally, there is no room for that anywhere. So, like, please just let me, you know, try to get this arranged. Like, I appreciate you're trying to make me feel better, but like, it is not applicable to our situation.
Fair.
I ordered some furniture that is supposedly getting delivered on Monday from our good friends, our good Swedish friends at IKEA.
Wait a second. Dory, why did you make that choice? I'm normally the one who makes weird word choices.
I'm just trying to make it sound more cosmopolitan.
IKEA?
I think IKEA is how they say it in some foreign countries.
Well, how do they say it in Sweden? Isn't it Swedish? Am I wrong?
It is Swedish. It's Swedish. I don't know.
Oh, well, I'll have to find Swedish out. Listeners.
Get at us.
This is the new My Cellar. Mi Cellar. How do you say IKEA in your tongue?
Which we went over in the mini episode this
yes,
week.
And we'll never mention again.
Yeah, I got a dresser and a day bed.
We've established this. IKEA is the best.
I know. I've had hit or miss experiences with their furniture, but it's a nursery.
Yeah, like that stuff's going to get used and abused.
It'll be fine. So all of that is happening. And also the long rumored window work that I've also been talking about
hot topic
for weeks.
Window work
finally started today.
Dory's house is fucking getting done.
Oh my God. It was delayed by like 3 weeks because we've been getting so much rain.
Now we have butterflies
and it's gorgeous out. So like, it does finally feel like, okay, stuff is happening. And I have like 5 weeks to go.
All right. The clock is ticking.
The clock is tick, tick, ticking. And then the only other thing that's happening is you are throwing me a baby shower this weekend.
Oh, yeah. And like, let me tell you, everybody in my house is preparing for it.
Oh, God. My in-laws, I'm so sorry.
No, it's wonderful. My in-laws are visiting right now, I should say. So we're my lovely, amazing in-laws.
Will they still be here?
They will, but they're taking a journey with the rest of my family. I've kicked everybody out of the house. But my in-laws have been prepping. They are like the most helpful people to ever exist on the earth. I love them so much. But my mother-in-law washed windows today. She cleaned our outdoor couch.
Bless her.
Oh, truly. I've done some prep, but it'll be my in-laws who do the bulk of this baby shower preparation. Aww. So we are going to have a shindig for you.
I'm so excited.
I am too.
Oh,
it's going to be, it's going to be great.
Yeah. And then toast you. Oh, can't wait. And then the next day we're going with my nieces to Disneyland.
Can you ride a lot of rides pregnant at Disneyland?
I think you can ride the rides that my 3-year-old niece would want to ride.
Perfect.
Like, it's a small world.
That's like the perfect Disneyland experience.
Yes, exactly.
You're not going to be going down Splash Mountain.
Or Space Mountain.
No mountains.
No mountains.
No Big Thunder.
Yeah. So, yeah. No Soarin'.
No, I hate Soarin'.
I hate Soarin' too. And I hate Star Tours.
We're very lucky to live in Southern California where we can have opinions about these
about
rides.
About Soarin',
yes. We realize that it's very amazing that
the
we can
reason
just drive
I don't,
to Disneyland.
The reason I don't like Soarin' is because I get motion sickness.
Me too, Dory.
And I'm just like, this is not fun.
Oh, the only thing that's Soarin' is the vomit out of our stomachs.
Touché. I mean, for the record, I also don't like the Harry Potter ride.
At Universal?
Yeah, because it's also...
That weird like screen.
Yeah. Makes me very nauseous.
That's going to be fun to see Disneyland through the eyes of a child.
Oh my God. I am so excited.
That's magical.
Because she is obsessed with Disney now. She keeps asking my sister, like, is this character going to be? Like, she was like, is Daniel Tiger going to be at Disney?
No.
He's not.
No.
But, you know, she's excited to visit Mickey's house.
It's so fun. I'm so excited.
So excited. So I think it'll be a good weekend.
Oh, it'll be great.
Yeah.
It'll be a weekend all about you.
Oh, that's weird.
You know, you just have to lean into it.
Okay.
You just have to kind of embrace it. Because it is weird when you're the person who's being showered or celebrated. It feels weird.
Yeah. I've never, like, I didn't have a bridal shower. Did you have a bridal shower?
I did. I had a little luncheon.
Oh, cute.
I also, in my situation, I got married so soon after my mom died that I think many people were being very generous with their time and stepping in to kind of like do stuff my mom might have done.
I see.
So I did have all those little things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Aww.
Yeah, you know.
That's nice.
Well, thank you to everybody who did that 10 years ago.
Did you have a baby shower?
Oh, yeah. I had two.
Damn, girl.
I had a friend's one and then I had a family one.
Oh,
yeah. I was showered. I'm very spoiled. People were very kind. I also had a bachelorette party.
I did too. Yeah. Yeah. I had two, actually. One.
So we'll see. Look at
one
that.
One in LA and one in New York.
Oh, you had a bi-coastal bachelorette?
Yeah. The New York one was a weekend.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Wasn't the LA one a weekend also?
No, it was just a night out.
Okay.
With karaoke.
That sounds like a perfect.
It was great. I had fun at both.
Yeah. See, it's easy. You can be celebrated once in a while.
All right. I'll take it.
Yeah, just roll with it.
Thank you.
Dory, before we take a quick break, can we just say that we had the esteemed privilege and honor of meeting Forever 35 listeners in Austin, Texas?
Yes. It was so great. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming out.
Truly blown away. People drove from Houston.
Mm-hmm. And San Antonio.
I mean, what?
I know.
It was so, so, so much fun to get to meet listeners. And if you couldn't tell, we were both a bit like shell-shocked.
A little deer in headlights.
A little overwhelmed at first. Nervous. Mm-hmm. But boy, Forever 35 listeners are just amazing.
Yeah, you guys are the best.
Thank you so much. So
it was also encouraging to be like, oh, our fans will come out. This is great.
And like gave us some ideas for how to like hold meetups in the future when we possibly aren't as terrified.
Totally. So thank you, Austinites, for being our guinea pigs.
Yes, thank you. You were amazing guinea pigs. It was so great to get to chat with all of you. We talked about book recommendations.
Yeah, we did.
Got some listener
people
book recommendations.
People made watercolors.
We painted.
We painted, yeah.
It was just a blast.
And so the interview on this episode is from South by Southwest. It was our live podcast from South by Southwest.
With Miranda Bennett.
Miranda Bennett. So enjoy that. We'll be right back.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like, zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word. Nice. Don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
We are so excited to be here at South by Southwest with our guest, Miranda Bennett. Miranda is the founder of Miranda Bennett Studio, a brand known for its wearability, commitment to environmentally sustainable practices, ethical manufacturing partnerships, and advances in the use of natural dyes in commercial scale. Miranda is a native of Austin, and when she graduated from the Parsons School of Design and Eugene Lang College, she launched her first clothing line. And since then, her work has been sold globally and featured in publications, including the New York Times and Forbes, among others. She spent 12 years operating and manufacturing in New York and then relocated to her hometown of Austin in search of a more meaningful way to work within the confines of the fashion industry. And the result is Miranda Bennett Studios, a mission-oriented clothing line that strives to marry aesthetically compelling apparel with meaningful production practices focused around circularity and environmental stewardship. And may I just say that her clothes are gorgeous.
They're impeccable.
They are impeccable.
Comfortable. Sleek.
They're great. And she just opened her first brick and mortar store here in Austin. So, Miranda, I would love to start by talking about your line, which is beautiful and also size inclusive, which unfortunately is still rare in the fashion industry. So I'd love to hear about what it has meant for your brand to be size inclusive.
Yeah. So how I came to that decision was really a very organic extension of the aesthetic that I felt naturally drawn to, which is sort of trying to pare down and distill just the essence of the garment, removing like any unnecessary flourishes or details that sort of, you know, muddled just creating a garment that would drape according to the figure of the woman wearing it. So a lot of our garments, when you lay them flat, they have like these very geometric shapes, these very simple shapes. And, you know, the thinking behind that is that when they actually like engage with the person wearing it, that it will, it will wear differently on different mm-hmm. people. And that's actually one of my favorite things to see is different women of totally different, you know, statures and builds side by side in the same top. And they both look beautiful and they both look beautiful in different and unique ways. So that's, you know, kind of the why of it. But I have to say, as, you know, now on the other side where we do have a lot of like, you know, we're tagged in a lot of imagery on Instagram of customers wearing our garments. And I have the experience now of being in the store where people come in and, you know, for any number of reasons, whether it's that, you know, they're 4'11" and like, you know, size 2, or if they're like, you know, 5'10" and a size 16 on, you know, and everything in between, to have the moment with them in the fitting room when they put something on and they're like, oh my God, I feel beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that was so easy. And this never happens. And there's been tears, like there's been, you know, it's actually like, that is really powerful. And I've personally experienced that challenge of, you know, I remember once my fiance was like, I want to like, let's go get you an outfit. We had this special occasion coming up and he wanted to like treat me to an outfit, which was such a fun, like Pretty Woman moment minus the prostitution. And we like went to like several stores and nothing looked good on me. And it just kept getting, you know, the sort of emotional impact of that continued to increase throughout the day as we went through that experience over and over again. And then, you know, it then became like, you know, just a cocktail of like frustration and then also body shame and just all of this stuff. And I think that that's why, you know, for me now to be able to deliver that to women feels like, you know, both from having experienced it firsthand, but then being on the other side of seeing the joy and the ease that it can bring to a woman to just finally feel like, okay, like I know that this works for me. Yeah. That is like so meaningful to me as a designer.
Can we talk a little bit about some of the challenges you face as an entrepreneur?
I think, you know, well, one thing I think is that it is hard in, you know, the social media age that we're in. You know, on the one hand, that's such a boon and a benefit to business because you have this like direct line to your customer. And I think it creates this type of engagement that can be so informative and also such a more like accessible format of even just advertising, you know, which for a lot of brands, that's kind of their primary like, you know, program for advertising now is through these like, you know, different channels like Instagram.
And you do all of your own Instagram.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
And let's reiterate, you are the head of a company you founded and you do your own social media.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
It's cool. It's, you know, it's funny. We were talking about this. It's hard for me to let it go because it's our voice. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the part that keeps stopping me from like handing it over. I made one attempt and I quickly was like, I can't, I'm not ready. So it's both just having that trust in someone else really conveying the voice of the line and the brand and, you know, just the tone and everything. But it's also that I get so much insight from seeing what we're tagged in, reading DMs that we get, reading comments that we get. I mean, it's like, it's literally a direct line to the people engaging with the brand. And that's pretty incredible to have that, you know, especially as someone who now, you know, I do work really long hours and really long days and I'm not like doing the networking and the like going out in the evenings that, you know, and I live in Austin, not, you know, New York or LA. So there's, you know, a lot of sides of it that make it really a great space and opportunity to get that insight. But going back to your original question, I think the double-edged sword of that is, you know, you fall into the sort of comparison trap. You know, you start to look at other people in the same space as you. And, you know, I think sometimes with being based in Austin, I feel a little bit like I'm a little bit on the outside of, you know, the mainstream industry. And I think that's kind of for better or for worse. I think that that's what gives us the space and the freedom to sort of innovate and do things not within the sort of very traditional paradigm of running an apparel company. But, you know, other challenges I think are just resources. You know, I think with being a small business and with, you know, doing so much of the production in-house, there's a lot of long days. And there's a lot of days where you're doing anything from like, you know, the garments need tags on them or the barcodes need to be printed for the store or, you know, we need to drive out to the sawmill in Bastrop and pick up some more, you know, wood shavings for this next like lot that we're going to experiment for our dye stuff. Like, you know, or there's a pop-up and we need to like set up and break down. And, you know, it's just I was actually in the audience of a panel yesterday and Jen Gotch was saying that about her business, that's like a really big part that they open with when they're interviewing is just to share like, this is going to be hard and this is going to be a lot of really unglamorous stuff. This is going to be a lot of, you know, I mean, fashion in general, there's just so much schlepping, like, yeah. You know, and people don't know that side of it necessarily.
I do feel like social media adds to the illusion of things being glamorous when they actually are not.
Absolutely. And, you know, I even feel guilty of not sharing more, you know, of that side of it. I feel like that's something I kind of took from some of the conversations I was listening to yesterday was like, you know, it probably would be more meaningful for our customer to see a little more of that grittier side or mm-hmm. the late, you know, that
the behind the scenes.
Yeah. Although sometimes it's like, well, how do I show you that I'm on my computer at 3 a.m. trying to like redesign our website? You know, like I think that is, you know, how do you even that being able to step back to sort of tell that side of it requires a certain amount of bandwidth that, you know, isn't always possible.
Yeah. Totally.
Speaking of Instagram, I am curious how you have worked with influencers and kind of if you could expand a little bit on how Instagram in particular has been useful for your brand.
Mm-hmm. So to the first part about influencers, we really don't work with them enough. And it's something that it's actually like on my agenda. Or as I like to call it, my to-do scroll, because it's so much more than a list.
You unravel it and it's like 7 feet rolling out. Yep.
So that is something that's actually, you know, very much at the forefront of my mind going into this year. And we recently had a conversation at one of our studio-wide meetings where we're having each member of the team recommend one influencer that they personally follow and feel like, you know, very engaged with, very much speaks to their values and their point of view. And we're going to be reaching out to each one of those and sort of trying to do like a more strategic, like sending each one of them the same garment or our everyday style, which is, I like to call it the North Star of our collection. It's the style that sort of has dictated like the mood and energy and cut of the rest of the garments that continue to be added. So the idea with that being to really show like how it really is about highlighting the person in the garment, and it can be such a diversity of people mm-hmm. that can all look really wonderful in it and do the things that they do in their life and their work. But the second part of the question was...
Kind of how Instagram has been beneficial for your brand.
Hugely beneficial. I just think in general, social media and the space that it's created for brands has completely like changed the paradigm of what it means to be a company, or at least how a company presents itself to the market. You know, when I first started my collection, that was Instagram did not exist. You know, Facebook did. Although I don't really think it was being utilized in the capacity that it is now by brands. It was still very much a personal platform for, you know,
college students.
Like trolls. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's changed.
It's changed a lot. And you know, I think not to mention all the coterie of other, you know, platforms that exist, what, you know, my experience that first time was very much this idea of trying to sort of present myself as the other brands and as sort of, you know, legitimate in the space that they're in. And so, you know, at that time, there was a lot more of that posturing of just sort of, you know, presenting yourself as just the other sort of, you know, companies that were on the market, but not really trying to stand out and certainly not really sharing what was different or unique about your production process, let alone, you know, showing any part of that.
Right.
Where I think social media has been so incredible is that it's created the space not only to share that, but it's created like a hunger within the sort of consumer to see that. It's like they've been introduced to that now, and so there's kind of no going back. And I think that that is also what's really demanded a lot more transparency from brands is, you know, you see one company showing that and you start to wonder why these other ones aren't. Like, are they trying, what are they trying to not disclose or what is, you know, or how far away are they from these parts of the process that go into the making of the product that, you know, perhaps they don't even know what's going on in the production floor. So I think it's really created this engaged and informed and educated consumer that I think I'm just like, I'm so psyched about because it means if we take the time and effort and utilize, you know, just our resources towards these endeavors that are more, you know, labor intensive, that are more expensive, that are more challenging for a host of reasons, it's really incredible to know that there's actually people on the other side that are like, their game because they're following along and they want to know, you know, all about that. And it's not just about the finished product anymore. It's like all of those steps leading up to it.
Right.
How do you, as someone who's up at 3 a.m. redesigning your company website, how do you then implement your own personal self-care? Do you have it?
No, I really don't. Just being totally honest, like, I really wish I could come up here and say, like, well, I start the day with my phone in the other room. I meditate for 2 hours, set my intentions, I have a juice, but I don't.
Keep going. That sounds like a great day that nobody's ever really actually
had. Who is she? I want her life. I'm really humbled in the pursuit of getting that more in balance. I think it's hard because there isn't... it's an infinite amount of things that can be done at all times. And I think with the introduction of the store as well, you know, that's like been a completely new business for us. And it's really different from our, you know, our existing business. So I find myself kind of like straddling these two, you know, really trying to lead these two endeavors that are very interrelated, but also very different in their practical reality. And that's still very, you know, we just opened the store in December. So it's still something that, you know, I'm hoping that this time next year I could say, you know, I'm at least like stretching or something, you know.
Just touching your toes yeah, every now and then.
Just something. But yeah, I think it is something that, you know, I think there's a lot of like pressure in the social media space to sort of be, you know, that person that is really doing it all and, you know, she's doing yoga and she's running a meeting and, you know, she's a brand ambassador and she's, you know, but it's the reality is it is when you're passionate and you're engaged, it's like you want to be doing the work. I worry about, you know, being a present partner to my fiance. I worry about being a friend, you know, to the people I mean, it's hard because you do want to really feed all of those parts of yourself, but it does feel like the business is always the thing that kind of is, you know, it's the loudest sort of, you know, part of my mind and my day. And I'm lucky to have a partner that is incredibly supportive of that and incredibly understanding because I've also had partners that weren't, you know, so I know what that looks like too. And I think that's the thing. It's kind of being a business owner and a small business owner, it's a lifestyle. And I think you kind of have to go into it understanding that that's the case. It's not a 9-to-5 and it's definitely not something that you can necessarily just like leave at the office, you know?
Right. You are the office.
You are the office. Yeah. And that being said, I'm all for, you know, establishing boundaries and, you know, for your personal life and being able to really delegate more and also like understand that delegation means like someone else is not going to do it exactly like you would do it. That's like the biggest part that's hard. And I think that that's why it's a slower process, you know, for me in particular is like letting go of a little bit of control, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's challenging. Self-care is, but I think we had talked about this like on the phone. That's why sheet masks are so great, you know, just like, or just those little things, you know, because I think that side of self-care gets kind of, you know, branded as being more frivolous or something. But, you know, the reality is like, I can sheet mask while I'm answering emails and that's something.
Yeah.
Like that's a place to start.
I think also there is this other side of self-care where it's like pressure to do it, where it's like, if you're not meditating and juicing, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, that also is work. It is work to do all those things as well. And so like, you kind of have to set boundaries with what you're going to do to take care of yourself.
And what pressure you're putting on yourself to do that.
Totally.
Because that, you do really have to hold space for that. And sometimes it just feels like just the act of being able to take things off of your to-do list is like sometimes the only relief that's, you know, that's really in sight, you know?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Well, you did recently open this brick and mortar store, which is beautiful. We went to it this morning.
Thank you.
And you also recently launched a line of nail polish, and you're carrying items now from some other brands. So I'm wondering if that is going to kind of expand and like what else is on the horizon for you.
And like what goes into making a nail polish?
Yes, that
like,
too.
You took that on in addition to everything else. And that seems like that's a huge chunk of work.
Yeah, you know, the beauty of that was that we worked with a partner that created the polish itself, and it's a 7-free formula, cruelty-free, made in the USA. The thinking behind it was, here's a way to make this part of our collection that's so special, you know, the color, make it accessible at a price point that, you know, they're $18 a bottle or 3 for $48 plus a zero waste pouch. Just putting that out there. But it's been really, that's actually been a really fun endeavor because it's such a concise product. The cost is so clear cut. It's so different in that sense from our collection where, you know, depending on how the dye process went with the dye stuff for each particular panel of fabric, the cost can be wildly different, which, you know, from an accounting perspective is a total nightmare when you're trying to get your cost of goods in order. So the nail polish has actually been a really fun endeavor and something I look forward to continuing to have in the collection to, like, be able to add to with each new edition. And the reception of it has been really fun. Like, we've been selling them really well, but also just to be able to offer something so different, but yet that so clearly reinforces the brand is really, it's been really cool, to be honest.
How did you land on nail polish? Is it a thing you had always wanted to do, or?
It was actually a conversation with my dear friend, Jessica of Primary.
I love her deodorant.
Yes, yeah. She's the best. And it was a concept she had, and I'm not sure where it came from for her, other than she does a lot of like product development and has a really, really rich background in that. But it was something that she kind of came up with. You know, we were just having like, she's probably like my number one go-to friend for discussing business with. And it was something that she brought to my, you know, brought in front of me as something to consider doing and then really helped me facilitate that. And I wouldn't have necessarily done that on my own, but it was such a, you know, it's one of those thoughts where as soon as she said it, I was like, could I really do that? Oh my God, I could. Yeah, let's do it. And then in terms of the other brands that we're carrying in the store, like that process of being a buyer has been super fun for me because, you know, there are so many awesome brands on the market now that are using ethical and sustainable practices. And I really loved having sort of the guide of like, thinking of who our person is and what they're looking for, who they're shopping for, or even like, you know, a traveler in town who is coming to visit the store for the first time and they forgot sunblock or they didn't realize, you know, that we have...
I forgot deodorant. That's where we're going with this.
And she got some at my store, which was, I was like, this is why I carry that. You know, it was such a sweet moment to like see it in action. But, you know, like, so being able to pick like one or two or three options for each of those key things that you like either put on your body or wear with the collection. So, you know, having like a really solid sunblock, having a really solid, like even natural, like mosquito repellent or, you know, a great hat that's like affordable. So it can kind of speak to both our person that lives here, but also our person that's coming in to travel. And, you know, I think it's fun now to think of like the brick and mortar side of our business being something that can, you know, expand in the future and be in other cities as well.
It seemed like most of the brands were women-owned brands.
That definitely is the case. I would say majority women-owned, but it's not it's not a deal breaker.
Hard and fast rule.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think that inclusivity does go on both sides, you know, and for me, it's really more about the values and ethics of the company and the sort of just integrity of the product itself.
Yeah, cool. Oh. Well, we love everything about what you are doing.
Yeah.
It has been a real treat to get to observe and then get to come in and get to see it in action.
So you guys should all go. It's in East Austin.
Yes.
I think we have some time for questions from the audience.
Hi, I'm Max.
Hi, Max.
Particularly with social media and running that all yourself, because that's a lot to take on, especially as an owner and entrepreneur. Do you ever feel like you're always kind of standing by for messages from your consumers? And how do you kind of balance that with all the other stuff you have to do and all the other hats?
Yeah, I've tried to be better about, you know, if we get a DM that's like specifically like a customer service related question of, you know, forwarding those inquiries directly onto our sales team to provide that support, because they can provide that better than I can from my phone, you know, out in the world and stuff. But I think probably the days that I'm kind of the hardest on myself at the end of the day about what I've been able to accomplish are the ones where I didn't get that post up, or I didn't, you know, do stories about, you know, X, Y, or Z thing that happened. There's definitely a constant sort of, you know, demand in the back of my head with having that as part of my, like, you know, my daily responsibility. And that is honestly why that's something I'm like, I need to learn how to delegate at least some portion of this, you know. I think sometimes the challenge with delegation is the amount of preparation you have to do to really effectively accomplish it. So I can't just say, hey, take care of the Instagram for me. You know, it's like I need to really like set out like almost a manual for what that looks like. You know, like what is the criterion for what gets posted? What is the site? Like what's the voice that we want to have? Like, you know, what are sort of our like, you know, go-to things I can prepare that person taking over to sort of know to be able to address? So sometimes that can be the real roadblock, is being able to step back and do the sort of homework to hand something off.
Can I piggyback on that and just ask, how do you, and maybe you handle this with ease, but deal with kind of if there's the negative comments, the negative side of social media, since it's so personal to you, mm-hmm. you're managing something that has your name on it. Mm-hmm. How do you navigate that and set boundaries with that?
I feel like I'm fortunate that I'm trying to think of like, you know, specific examples of, you know, comments or anything like that that were harder to see or hear. And I'm fortunate that I don't feel like that's like a ton of the type of sort of interactions that I end up seeing. But I feel like, you know, it's really, you will sort of hold, and your energy will go to what you are focused on. And unfortunately, I think often you could have 50 positive remarks and one negative remark, and you'll focus on that one negative one. So one practice I try and maintain is just like to really reinforce the good, not to ignore the bad, but to remember to keep that in proportion. But also when there is a, you know, critical comment or feedback, I also think that there is a lesson in there. I think that there's actually the opportunity to learn like where it's coming from, and if there's merit to it. I don't like rule it out just because it's not pleasant. I really try and take even just like, you know, your size inclusive, but you don't have my size. I'm like, oh, well, what's your size? Let's talk about that. Or, you know, I want to engage with your brand, but I can't afford it. I'm like, okay, let's be better about having our studio's sale section online, like readily stocked, and like make sure that, you know, or even things like expanding our zero waste products to have more of just like price diversity, you know, to have products that do start at like $14 rather than $200 or $300 exclusively. So I think the key with like the negative commentary is like you kind of have the access to a focus group in a sense. So think about, you know, if there is actually something that you can take from that and, you know, do better from.
That's a very mature perspective that I would like to
just absorb.
Yeah, just absorb.
You know what
else?
It
doesn't mean my feelings don't get hurt. You know?
No, but you, that's true. You do. You are. Sounds like you are
living in action, Dory's favorite phrase, which is reframe the narrative. Yeah, and you like totally, you're taking it in a, such a different way than I feel like many of us do, including number one, me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Well, I think it's a muscle and
you're very strong.
Oh, well, by that, I just mean to practice, you know, you have to practice it over and over.
So. Other questions? Okay. I see a few hands.
As someone who's new to the brand, I was looking at your Instagram, and while you guys talked a little bit about the fact that you're very body inclusive, it also feels like you are diverse in other ways, in the looks and the styles and in the ethnicities that you're showing. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you think about, or how does that play into both like the development of your clothes and your styles and your colors, as well as the way that you present yourself?
Well, I think the minimalism of the, aesthetic of our line is what lends itself to, being able to speak to a really diverse audience, diverse in terms of ethnicity, size, age. So that's really like kind of a guiding principle for me is, I'm so flattered when I hear that, a mother and daughter can share a garment, or that it could be the first kind of big purchase for someone right out of college or, something that a woman in her 70s is purchasing and buying. So I think that it's not so much, strategic on the back end of like, what will speak to whom of this, but more so that it's just kind of an overarching design philosophy of really considering how the person inside the garment is always going to be the sort of focal point, and that the clothing itself is really there to sort of support and work with them for whatever, sort of portion of the day they're wearing it through or station in their life that they're in. Cool.
Hi. So I'm just wondering about making ethical and sustainable fashion accessible to more consumers. So you had mentioned the price point can be a barrier to entry for some. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious just about how you think about your pricing strategy. I mean, of course, there's a good reason that ethical and sustainable goods are often more expensive. Mm-hmm. So how do you think about that? And then over time to make ethical and sustainable fashion accessible to more people, do you think it's more about educating consumers around buy less and spend more on high quality goods, or companies being able to lower the price point over time to make it more accessible?
I think it's honestly both. But I do think, there is that sense that we do need to reframe the paradigm of how we're consuming. So, yes, like a $300 garment. I mean, I understand that that's a lot for me, but it's also understanding that that feels like a lot more if you're also purchasing, 10 other things a month, just as like standard practice, right? Which is very much the way that people do consume. It's not a strategy of like, here's my apparel for this season. It's just a often more spontaneous and almost like recreational activity in America to shop in this way that's, it's social, it's sort of on the fly, there's a sale, you're in Target to get toilet paper, you tripped over a collab that they were doing, So I think it's also understanding that, if we're considering the way that we're purchasing in a more mindful way, then yes, there's that side of it that I do think makes it a lot more accessible. If you are really being conscious of like, how and where you're spending. But on the other side, I think, like on with our line, for example, there are some items that we're wholesaling that are dyed where we have a very, very slim profit margin, and we're subsidizing that essentially through our non-dyed garments. So there's also strategies like that that you can utilize as a business, to basically offset and sort of spread out some of your operational and cost of goods that you have to consider. But then, as a consumer, I think, there's a lot of creative ways that you can also engage with ethical brands. There's, like I'd mentioned, the studio sale, but there's buying secondhand. There's that great Instagram. I always just say the name forward rather than backward, but the Fashion Bazaar.
The Noise like, Stuff
yes,
Bazaar.
I've never successfully, but that's like such a cool marketplace for people reselling specifically like ethical, sustainable, independent lines. Just going to studio and sample sales that other lines are carrying, maybe also supplementing that $300 garment with, you know, thrifted garments as well. I think there's a lot of ways that we can sort of rethink where we're shopping and how we're shopping.
And kind of be more mindful about it overall. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hi. To kind of piggyback off that question, it seems like you're really mindful about the partnerships you make with the folks who are producing mm-hmm. Your garments. I'm curious to hear how you, with the 15 folks, I think you said, who mm-hmm. you employ, like how you make sure that you're able to provide those folks with like a livable wage mm-hmm. and how you sort of think about the sustainability of the folks you employ and like how you're able to do that as a small business, because I know a lot of small business owners, that's a big priority that they'd like to be able to accommodate, but sometimes that's not the reality that they're able to do. So
yeah, it's definitely something I think about a lot, and it's something that I really want to ultimately always be mindful of passing on our growth to the team that we employ. So actually Jessica had given me great feedback when I was first really like getting a larger team for the first time, which is, you know, you can offer your employees, you know, finance, fit, fun. I think the other one was another F word that covered title that I can't remember, but that, you know, you might not be able to offer all of those, but what can you offer of those? And being mindful of where you can't offer one, being able to offer some of the other. So it's like if you're not able to provide the salary that you necessarily want to provide, be mindful of providing a title that will give them the capacity to move on to another job with, you know, a better resume than, you know, had they not had that. And also be mindful of really, you know, your position as like a mentor and a coach, you know, as the leader of that team, and giving them the skills that will allow them to grow professionally beyond their time with you. The fun part is, you know, for me that like, I think initially I felt this obligation to sort of almost be like a, you know, Silicon Valley, like tech, you know, like ping pong tables and, and break and nap rooms and, you know, not actually
yoga
for us,
room.
But,
yeah.
But like thinking about like having this obligation to like provide all of these sort of like, you know, things that I really, when I started to look back and look at the cost of like having these sort of like little like fun bonding things where, you know, they did actually start to financially add up. And I kind of stepped back and was like, I think that this would be more meaningfully spent on their wages, you know? And I think at the end of the day, like I can create a like peaceful and respectful, and like, you know, like an environment that you look forward to working in and that has, you know, functional, like, you know, dialogue based work ethic and, you know, where there's not dysfunction and there's not, you know, a real sense of like, you know, I can create an environment that people want to actually be in. The other thing too is that, you know, understanding as a small business that there is that pace car also for us. So, you know, one thing that my Liz, who directs my studio, and I talk about in anticipation of each year is like, what is an improvement we can make to our benefits package? So, you know, it's like thinking about additional days off that we can offer, like having more PTO is something where, you know, we can give people more of that balance in their own sort of work life, but it's not necessarily like, you know, it is an expense, but it's a way that we can kind of, we would already have anticipated spending that money, but we can give them, you know, more time to themselves. Next on my agenda is like healthcare, like being able to provide that. A lot of that stuff is really daunting though, when you, you know, you have to also be aware that the best way you can be an employer is to have a financially sound company. So you have to like be making decisions in a way that's actually feasible to you, because I am never going to bounce a check to a teammate, you know, like that's the other part is like, you have to actually be able to back up what you want to offer and to be able, you know, make sure that you really can.
Well, thank you, Miranda.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys. This was a pleasure.
So, Kate, last week, and we touched on this a little bit earlier in the show, but you said you were going to lean into being sick. How did that go?
Well, it went okay in terms of like purchasing items to help me feel better. I did not sleep or rest because I was caregiving for a child.
Yeah.
So it was a little tricky. I would be, I was up all night for 3 nights in a row with my daughter. So once her flu kind of subsided, I was able to get some rest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was sick while we were traveling in Texas and I really took it easy while we were there. I rested.
Yeah.
I ate.
You seemed okay though.
I felt good. Yeah. I mean, I think also just removing myself from my sick kids, which was, I have to say, I had a lot of anxiety about leaving them, but I left them in the very capable hands of my in-laws. Mm-hmm. But I had a lot of like guilt and anxiety about it. But I also think it was probably like good for me just to go be somewhere where I could sleep and not be able to physically care for them.
To be out of the house of germs.
Yeah, out of the house of germs, as they say. So it went okay. I'm still leaning into it, but I'm going to bed early, being gentle with myself, not pushing myself too hard, and I'm feeling good.
Good.
Tell me about hydration, because I've seen you drinking a ton. You have two waters on the table right
now. I do. I've been really making a concerted effort to drink a lot of water and actually water with liquid IV in it. I don't just say it for the ad.
No, we both. I think this whole Forever 35 team, we all liquid IV it up.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, like at night I've been putting, I have like 2 pint glasses worth of water. And I drink it throughout the night.
Like, that's great.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, a pint glass, I think, is 12 ounces.
That's a lot.
So that's 24 ounces of water in like overnight. I mean, I'm peeing constantly.
That's a lot of work.
What are you going to do? I don't have another ultrasound for another couple of weeks. But, you know, the last ultrasound, things look good. So I'm trying to just like stay on that track.
You're taking care of yourself. You're taking care
taking
of your future
care of myself.
Child.
Yeah.
Good work, Dory.
What about what's on tap for next week?
You know what my intention is, Dory?
What's that?
To watch TV.
Ooh, great intention.
Yeah. I'm really enjoying Schitt's Creek. Mm-hmm. I started watching it this past weekend. I'm obsessed with it.
Okay.
And, you know, like when we've talked about not making room for books, I also don't do a great job making room for like TV and movies in my life. Mm. And I think they have a lot of value.
Yeah, definitely.
So I am going to...
I mean, they pay the bills around here.
We both are married to TV writers, yeah. So we're very lucky in that regard.
So everyone keep watching
Please
television.
Please watch TV. But I just was like, you know what? This is fun for me to have a show and to fall, like to enjoy this and just sit and laugh. It's been really, really... fun. And
good.
I've been doing a better job watching TV lately.
Mm-hmm.
It seems silly to like try to do a good job watching TV, but there have been times where I've had no shows in my life.
Yeah.
So making room.
It's a sad time when that happens.
Yeah. I like to be able to participate in pop culture and also like have something that makes me feel good.
I feel like I need to make a list of shows that I want to binge when I have a newborn.
Binging TV with a newborn baby is really satisfying.
Yeah.
I got through like,
what am I going to binge?
Have you ever watched Skins? That's the show I watched.
I watched the first season.
Okay. All right. Game of Thrones? Nope. I watched that with my second kid.
I watched the first 2 seasons as they aired. And then it got so violent that it was like hard for me to watch.
It's not a great show. And if you want something relaxing.
Yeah. So I don't think Game of Thrones is it. I've read all the books.
Oh, I didn't know that about
you.
Yeah.
I've read all the books.
Outlander?
Maybe. I've also heard it's violent.
It is. Is there an iconic show that you've not watched?
Seinfeld.
Oh, Dory, you've got to watch Seinfeld.
It's too late. Like
I weirdly just started rewatching like the first season of Seinfeld and it was very satisfying.
Maybe. I mean, maybe.
I understand. It's too late for me and like Gilmore Girls.
Same.
Yeah. It's just not going to happen.
Right. It's not
dated.
Happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'll have to, I'm sure there's something else that like, oh, you know what? I've never watched The Good Wife.
I've never watched that either. It's supposed to be fantastic.
It's supposed to be fantastic. So maybe that'll go on the list. And there's like, there are 22 episode seasons because it's on network TV.
Yeah.
And there's at least 5 seasons. So that should keep me busy.
Dig into some Canadian TV.
All right.
I think, well, Schitt's Creek is Canadian.
I should just rewatch You Can't Do That on Television, an iconic Canadian television show.
Such a good Canadian show that at the time, as a child, I didn't know was Canadian.
Same, because it aired on Nickelodeon.
Yeah, and also your worldview is like...
Same with Degrassi.
I did know that was Canadian.
Did I? I don't know.
15 on Nickelodeon. Did you watch that? That was Canadian.
No, I didn't.
Oh, it's really good. You didn't watch 15? No. This is getting way off topic, but it was fantastic.
You know what else I never watched that we discussed on Excellent Adventure, because I think I was too, I just missed it because I was too old, is Pete and Pete.
I was not, that means nothing to me.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, we missed it.
I don't get it.
But my husband, who's 6 years younger, was obsessed with it.
Yeah, there. And remember when Pete and Pete had like kind of like a nostalgic return,
yes,
5 years ago?
BuzzFeed was really on it.
Really into Pete and Pete. Mm-hmm. Old BuzzFeed. Yeah, yeah. It was like, it was meaningless to me.
Yeah, same.
It's very weird, those moments where like a generation is having like a, like Hanson. I'm just like, oh.
Yeah, but New Kids.
Oh, come on.
I mean.
Still Donnie Wahlberg would... You know, he is still a hunk to me.
Joey had those dreamy blue eyes.
He did. And, you know, he seems like a good guy.
I hope so.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well,
all right. Well,
that was a journey. Dory, what's on you? What's your attention this week?
I just want to, you know, express gratitude for the some of the great things in my life. Like my baby shower.
Well, I mean, let's wait to have it before you want to express
gratitude. Preemptively
expressing
gratitude.
It's going to be fun.
My family, a lot of whom are coming in. My parents are coming in tonight.
Oh, wow. That's soon. Okay.
Yeah. And my sister and her family are coming in a couple days. And my health. Very grateful for my health, especially as a pregnant lady. You know?
Yes. I do know.
There's a lot of shit that could have gone wrong. And still could go wrong.
Yeah. But in this moment, in the present moment.
Yep. Things are good.
Well, I'm grateful for your health too.
Well, thank you.
And mine.
And yours.
Well, Dory.
This brings us to the end. Should we remind everyone that we have a voicemail that they can leave us messages on?
Tell us if you watched Pete and Pete at 781-591-0390 or email us about Pete and Pete at forever35podcast@gmail.com.
So many emails about Pete and Pete.
Do you think, I feel like maybe we'll get more people who are like, I also watched 15 on Nickelodeon.
I don't know. There's only one way to find out.
Yeah. Open up the communication holes.
Operators are standing by.
Tell us. Pete and Pete.
By operators, I mean Google Voice.
Yep. Or okay. Us checking email.
Yeah. You can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/forever35podcast or one of the many spinoff groups.
And if you like the show, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, tell a friend, or mention us on social media.
And just a reminder that everything we mention is always on our website, forever35podcast.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at forever35podcast and on Twitter at forever35pod.
And Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Dory Shafrir and Kate Spencer and produced and edited by Sammy Junio, and Lane Hammer is our assistant.
Bye.
Bye.